Got no place to go, but there's a girl waiting for me down in Mexico. She got a bottle of tequila, a bottle of gin, and if I bring a little music, I can fit right in.
Oh yeah, baby. That's right. That's so right. It's so right to be right, and it's right, you know it's right. Rogan Tail Dog, Josh Ricardo. As you can tell, I've had my coffee. I actually don't drink coffee. I drink an amino energy drink that is caffeinated, but they call it natural caffeine, a.k.a. makes me feel like I can run through a fucking wall. Great show for you. I'm just popping them out like hotcakes at your diner. You slap a little butter on, a little syrups, and you rub them on your tits, and it's over. I have on comedian and ventriloquist April Brucker. Now, it's a really funny... It's a funny story. Now, I don't know if it's funny or not, but years and years and years ago, when I first moved to New York City, I've been in New York now about 11 years. So probably the first, probably 3 years into me living here, I moved into this apartment in the East Village with a friend of mine, another comic named John Heffley. John, shout out. And I wanted to – this is before web series really happened. YouTube was around, obviously, but – that's how fast technology moves. I could talk about stuff like it happened 50 years ago, but it was like 8 years ago. But the web series situation was fairly new, if anything. I mean, people were creating content, but so I had an idea where I was going to create a variety show around the apartment I lived in. I lived in this really cool East Village apartment with exposed brick, way overpriced, but cool. So I was going to call the show. I forgot what, it was something like Apartment 227, like that spinoff from the Jeffersons. No, I forgot. Whatever the number of the apartment was, that's what I was going to call it. So I wanted to have on a bunch of different people doing a variety of things, sketch, bands, and I made one episode of it, and it took forever to make, and I realized there was no way without resources I could sustain. But one of the people I wanted to have on was April Brucker, because April is kind of – what's the word I'm looking for? Eccentric? She has these puppets that she's come up with that she's made. She's had produced for her, specifically for her act. And she's really great at ventriloquism, and she jumps right in. And it is a sight to see. So I try to use her. This is way, way, way back then. And then over the course of the years, kind of got going in different directions and didn't really know where I could find her again to do it. And then finally I saw her on Twitter not too long ago. And try to get her on, and due to travel and all this other bullshit, it wasn't until now that I got to have her on, and it did not disappoint. April is a character and a half. She brought the puppets out. I realize it's more, you know, visual things, so some of you that follow the Snapchat and follow Broken Tail Dog on all the social media and myself on social media, you probably saw it live in the moment because I was doing a lot of live streaming and Snapchatting of it, but... it's pretty interesting and funny and out there. So without any further ado, let's listen to April. All right, welcome to the show, Broken Tail Dog Podcast. Josh Ricardo here, your host with the most. I like that. For those of you that are fans of the show, you know how crazy I am about puppets and Muppets and. Just in general, any puppets. So in front of me is a guest that I have been trying to have on for a while, and we finally were able to work it out. I have the fabulous and the talented April Brucker.
Hey, Josh. How are you today?
I'm amazing. Now that you're here.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, you've been trying to get me on for a while. We've been going back and forth. I was out of town, then you were out of town, then life happened.
And now we're here.
And now we're here, and I'm here in your apartment, and now I know where you live, and I'm a crazy white woman, so that should concern you a little bit. You've seen Snapped, right?
I've seen a few things with crazy white women.
Yeah, yes. Fatal Attraction. You should always be scared of the white woman. I mean, you know, they say the black and the Spanish chicks are always the most fierce. No. I'm scared of a white woman. I mean, Fatal Attraction, Glenn Close, that was no joke.
It's a risk I'm willing to take, April.
Oh, it's a risk you're willing to take. Well, I guess you haven't seen Snapped enough. I mean, those guys,
I've seen them. I get hard off that.
Oh.
I'm actually so turned on right now just thinking about Fatal Attraction.
Oh, Fatal Attraction. Oh, see?
So maybe you're the one that's walking into something. You never know.
So some call it stalking. You call it love.
I got really excited because April brought in all of her puppets, and I am obsessed. So she has some really well-known characters she does, and Mae Wilson, right?
Yeah, Mae Wilson.
Is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one?
Donald J. Tramp, and then Donald has a puppet of his own called Mike Dispense.
So you brought three puppets, and those are the three you brought.
Yes, those are the three that I brought, yeah. And actually, Mae is also making her off-Broadway debut, because Donald J. Tramp is doing a show called I Can't Believe I'm the President. We did it at Don't Tell Mama 2 weeks ago. We're doing it again President's Day weekend on February 20th. Mm-hmm. And Mae Wilson plays the role of Donald J. Tramp's campaign head, Kelly Ann Oneway.
Okay.
Yeah. So my puppets are all acting.
Your puppets
now.
Are very political.
Yeah, they're very political this season, because when you think of it, Donald Trump is the ventriloquist puppet of the Republican Party.
He's it's, okay. All right. Let's pause for a minute, because now I want to know something.
What?
So you are a puppeteer or a ventriloquist?
I'm both.
So you can actually do it without moving your lips?
Yes.
And it, I mean the puppet stuff.
Yes, I can do the puppet stuff without moving my lips.
Yes. That's, okay. When you were growing up, how did you, I'm assuming this kind of fascination with puppets happened when you were a child.
Well, it was actually an accident. Like all comedians, I was picked on mercilessly in school and didn't
but
pick
why?
In. Well, let's see. My parents were super overprotective, and I didn't have cable growing up. I only had three channels because my parents were educators, and I was only allowed to watch television on the weekends because they said if you live in this house, you're a thinker. So much for that.
Where are you from?
Pittsburgh, originally.
Okay.
Yeah, but so much for that shit, right? You know, look at me now. But anyway.
You're still a thinker.
I'm still kind of. But anyway, my mom's still like, why don't you go to law school? Like they're disappointed with the thinker I've become.
So you still talk to them?
Yes, I still talk
to
them.
So they didn't do anything to you that made you not want to talk to them anymore?
No, and if I stopped talking to them, they'd show up at my door. So there's that.
So they're actually where you get the stalking from.
Yes, they're where I get the stalking. They taught me well. But anyway.
This is why you love Fatal Attraction.
This is why I love Fatal Attraction. I think of my mom. But anyway.
So three channels.
Three channels. And so my brother started playing football. And in order to get the local channel with the games, we had to get cable. And, you know, and so my dad wanted one channel, but we had to get 20. And my dad, who can be a little cheap sometimes, yelled at the person on the phone. He goes, but I only want one. Mr. Brooker, you got to get 20. But I only want one.
Sure.
And so after an hour, we got 20 new channels.
Is that a Pittsburgh accent?
Yes, that is.
I have some friends from Pittsburgh. I guess they do sound like that. I heard it's a great place, though.
It is a great place. I have a Yinzer accent, yeah. So, but anyway, in Western PA, football's big.
Sure.
Friday's high school, Saturday's college, and Sunday's pro. Mm-hmm. And so we were enjoying our cable after my brother's football game, watching the local channel, mm-hmm. when my dad, who does not do commercials, flips to a show about ventriloquists. Now,
what's the show?
It was an Edgar Bergen tribute, actually.
Like, it wasn't public access. That's a famous ventriloquist, right?
Who yes, very famous. As a matter of fact, he is Candace Bergen's father.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and he was actually the most famous ventriloquist for a while on the radio. And that's where they think his lip control started to suffer, because he was on the radio every
and
week.
You don't need to hide your lips when you're on the radio.
No, you need to just be clear. Yeah, and so he was kind of a lousy ventriloquist, but, you know, don't tell him that I said so. Oops, he's dead. But anyway, yeah. We were watching it, and all the members of my family tried to talk like that, but I was the only one that could do it.
How would you? I mean, okay, that's really hard shit to do. I mean, I've tried it. I'm going to try it now. I got on April. See, I can't do it. It's impossible, and I'm really talented. So how did you discover that you're even able to remotely do that?
Well, it's a genetic quirk, because my great-grandmother's from Ireland. And I have a saggy smile. It's just the way my smile goes.
You're saying because of your smile that helps?
Yeah, my smile helps. So I was kind of predisposed to it, because everything I've ever been good at, I've always found out accidentally. Like, when I consciously try to be good at something, I kind of fuck it up.
Sure.
So, you know, it's like I'm talented in one area, but I have like an anti-talent in another area. Like, you know, I'm talented when it comes to the puppets, but I have like an anti-talent when it comes to money and other life decisions. So God does not give with two hands, or whatever you believe in.
There is no, when you're an artist, there is no way to make any money.
No, there isn't.
It's a third world country.
Yes, it's a
the people
world.
Making money.
Come on.
The people making money. There's like five of them.
Yeah, five.
And then there's
like
us.
The people in Rwanda are doing good compared to us some days. I'm serious. At least they get like federal aid and crap. You know, I don't know.
There is no federal aid for one April Brucker.
There's no federal aid.
No
for
one
me
celebrates
too.
A ventriloquist like they should.
Exactly.
Can you show me some I'm going to while I'm recording the show, I'm a multitasker. I am dying to see April do a little bit of some Mae Wilson without moving her lips. So I'm going to ask her to do a little bit of Mae, and I'm going to also simultaneously, you'll see it in the moment, because I'm going to do Snapchat even though the episode comes out later. This is how great technology is. Okay. On your cue, whatever you want to do, whenever you're ready.
What's up? My name is Mae Wilson, and I am so totally fabulous. April, your lip control doesn't suck so bad today. Mae, you gotta be nicer to me. Oh, April, who's to say that I have to be nice when I'm the pretty one? God.
Okay, I am slightly disturbed and in love, and a lot more in love. Because I really want to sleep with Mae, and I don't know
listen,
why.
Listen. Before we go any further, do you have a lot of money? You know, because I'm only after a rich guy. Okay, I will sleep with you. I'll give you some pity sex, okay?
That's not
a nice way to talk to somebody.
Is insulting me.
That's not a nice way to talk to somebody that's putting you on their show.
Sure.
On second thought.
Fucked up, Mae.
You have, like, a job, right? You know, you work and stuff. You have
money. How good are you in bed, though? So instead of worrying about my credentials, Mae, how good are you in bed for me to even consider giving my fortune to you?
You know, I'm the perfect girl. I fuck you and I don't talk afterwards.
Okay.
And you can fist me all night long.
See, now we're speaking my language.
And I'm drug and disease free. Throw me in the washing machine and you know that I'm not going to give you AIDS or herpes.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
And I can give you a blowjob and a handjob at the same time, too. Am
but how can you do that, though? How is that even possible? I'm looking at your hands now.
It's very, oh, my God! I can't believe her! She's such an embarrassment, Josh.
So let me ask something, April. When you, did you come up with Mae on your own and have someone build her?
I actually came up, this is crazy. My sister and I, because when I discovered I could do ventriloquism that Christmas, my mom put a Groucho Marx puppet under the tree for me, and I started performing in local nursing homes. My sister had a Charlie McCarthy that she just wasn't using. And so
what's a Charlie McCarthy? I'm sorry.
Charlie McCarthy is Edgar Bergen's figure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So as you know, you're looking at my personally made Muppet. That is Pantangeli. He's a lounge singer from the 60s. Very, very inappropriate.
Yes.
And also hugging him and humping him is Officer Doug.
Oh, well, see, your puppets are just as sexual as mine.
Yeah. But they're not originals. I mean, Pantangeli is because I created him from like a little Muppet workshop as a gift someone gave me. So I did create, like, I put the head I wanted and picked out the items. But Mae is a original.
She's an original. And wow. So, but initially, the Charlie McCarthy doll that my sister had got a sex change to be Mae because I wanted one that looked like me.
That's a big puppet.
And so, but then Mae, you know, the Charlie McCarthy kept breaking, and so she got remade. And then this one was made by who made you, sweetie?
Larry Ann Taylor. And who does she make puppets for? Jeff Dunham.
Whoa.
Yeah, she makes his Woozles. And so Mae was made by Mary Ann Taylor. And so tell Josh about how you were transported.
Well, the USPS lost me. And I was lost in the mail. It was so humiliating. Especially since the postal worker kept, you know, putting his hands on me without my consent. God.
Well, okay. So you got lost, Mae, in the mail?
Yes, I got lost in the mail, and I was sleeping in a trunk. I felt like Ted Bundy was shipping me, God.
So, Mae, when you got lost in the mail, I assume you were in a box?
Yes, I was in a box, okay? And it wasn't even a nice box. It was a box that made me look poor, okay? I don't do poor, alright? April here is broke and poor. I do rich, okay? Mae. What makes you think that you do rich? You live in my house. Well, I tell everybody that I don't know you, and you're my retarded cousin that I feel sorry for.
Is that because of the Pittsburgh accent?
Yes.
This is what I have to live with. She's so abusive.
April, when you were coming up with Mae's character, what made you gravitate towards her being a gold digger?
Well, actually, May is based off of two people that I know. One is a friend of mine from high school who was a cheerleader, and this girl was like a nice cheerleader who was friends with everybody, but her big thing was she wanted to marry a doctor someday. A very rich doctor, okay. Wanted to drive a convertible and never wanted to work, and she was just out
she,
there with
is
that.
Is she doing that?
Yes, actually.
She found all that.
Her dreams have come true.
Pretty low-level dreams, if you ask me. There's doctors everywhere.
I know, but she wanted a very rich one, and she never wanted to have to work. And then the other girl she was based off of was kind of like the chief mean girl who kind of got fat after high school and her life took a turn for the worse. But
awesome.
She was mean to me, but it was kind of like an outlet. And so, May, what do you think of the mean girl that was mean to me?
Well, April, I think that she's making you very famous, so you should totally be nicer to her. By the way, April, did I ever tell you that my friend wants to ask you out? Really? As a joke?
This is what I gotta live with. She's so mean.
Did you make her look like you?
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't just divine intervention.
I don't look like her. Excuse me. She looks like me, okay?
Okay, see, no, actually,
May. No. She's like coughing on me.
I beg to differ, May.
No. If you want to sleep with me, you're going to have to be a little nicer,
I'm
okay?
I'm very dominant, May, and I will do a lot of weird shit to you.
Ooh, I like that.
I know you do.
Do you want to film it?
Yes, I want to film it.
Are you totally into making money off of my sex tape?
Totally into making money. I would risk all my happiness and ruin my life to make this sex tape.
You're a pedophile. Has anyone ever told you that?
How old are you? How can I be a pedophile? You look worn out. There's no way you're younger than 18.
Listen, I said pedophile, not pedophile, you weirdo.
Do you think Geppetto fucked Pinocchio? You're kind of killing it for me now.
I know.
Puppet people are killing it for me. They're ruining all my dreams.
I know, mate. Listen, you got to keep the dream alive. You can't talk about...
I don't want Geppetto to be a weirdo.
Listen,
but he is, right? He has to be.
Yeah, well, he spends all that time with Pinocchio, Pinocchio's nose screw.
Actually, I used to fuck Pinocchio. May, you can't tell a guy you're about to have sex with about all the
No, I like that. I want her to tell me everything.
Okay, so tell him about Pinocchio.
Very open-minded.
Well, April, and Josh, every time he lied, his nose grew and his dick shrank.
Okay.
But every time he lied, I just sat on
all
his
right,
face,
May.
Okay? And made it work.
Let me ask April a question.
And he gave me splinters, okay?
I got an honest question for April.
All right,
and this is an I need an honest answer. When you're dating...
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I don't know April in her personal life, so I don't know about her. So I'm asking this question totally on spec. I don't have any inclination whatsoever. I just want to make it very clear up front. Because I'm a weird guy. There has been men in your life, yes, that have said, "Hey, can we do it with the puppet and you?"
Actually, there have been guys like that. As a matter of fact, I dated one guy who aspired to be a puppet in my collection.
So he wanted you to put your hand up his ass?
Yes.
This is for real. This is not bit.
No,
this is not shtick.
This is
okay.
Real. He wanted to be a puppet in my collection.
Aker forgot to mention that he's currently in prison. May, you can't tell people that.
So it's a real story, but a bit still for May.
She's a little sore about it.
Well, because I have to come clean about something, okay? Every time April wasn't home, he used to stick his hand inside me, okay? He was just using April to get to me. May, you can't... That is not true. He loved me. No, April. He said that he tolerated you. It's because he loved me, okay? He was using you, April. Duh!
Did you come up with a voice for him?
Yeah, I did.
And did you help him with his fetish? Did you put your hand up his ass? I'm only asking because I think it's an interesting story.
I never quite put my hand up his ass because he had a butt issue, but he just wanted
How do you have a butt issue if you want to be a puppet?
I know.
That's the whole point of being a puppet.
He was a very complicated man, Josh. He was complicated. That's why it didn't last.
So no man has ever been able...
And he went to prison. May,
well,
stop it.
Of course, I mean, sounds like he was on his way.
Yes.
So no man has ever successfully had the April and puppet freeway. Ever? And I'm not being a gross idiot. I would think someone would want to do it.
We actually also got an offer on the road one time, okay? We got an offer. It was me and May. We were in Omaha, Nebraska, and we were featuring.
Sure.
So afterwards, this guy comes up to us, and he offers us $500, okay? Now, if you know anything about feature work, it pays shit, right?
Of course.
And so he offers us $500. But the catch is that we have to go up the road to his farmhouse. And so he flashes the $500. So on one hand, I'm thinking
But what is he asking you to do?
Well, that's what we're going to get into.
he says that he wants to have a three-way with me and April. He wants me to suck his dick, and he wants April to, like, do him, you know, finish it. And so, anyway, we
are... Is that even possible?
Well, I guess. He's flashing...
Not to interrupt your story, but have you actually tried this, April?
Well, we never have, but if
because it's your hand in there. I'm not. I know you don't want like to break the fourth wall, so I'll break it for us. So it's your hand. For those of you that know how puppets work, it's her hand in there, and it's controlling the mouth. So I guess technically, you could do like a claw job situation with the mouth. But
no, that would be April during an actual load job. May you got to stop embarrassing me on the radio, God.
So he says he wants May to do fellatios, puppet fellatios on him. And then once he gets going, he needs the real woman to step in.
Yes.
The woman behind the woman.
The woman behind the woman. And so we were thinking about it, and he mentioned his farmhouse up the road, and he looked like Sling Blade. So it was going to be a great story, but we weren't going to get out. And all I could think of was May in a crop circle with her stuffing coming out of her. And so May and I talked about it.
And I said, listen, $500 for just me or the both of us. Because, you know, I'm a super kink worker. I'm a specialty. I can demand like three times the price. I know how porn works.
That's a valid point.
Yeah, that was a valid point. So
how much would it cost to repair May if her stuffing did?
Oh, it would cost a few.
A lot of money, right?
Yeah, it would cost almost $3,000.
Just to get her fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no cumming or any bodily fluids on May because she makes you money.
She makes me money.
So for all of you out there that think that, hey, you know, April's real cute and funny and fun, but I really need to get to that puppet, good luck.
Yeah, you're not getting to that puppet.
It's a lot of money to repair that puppet.
It's a lot of money.
Wow, all my hopes and dreams are gone. I was really hoping that it had happened, because I think that's... And here's why I think it's erotic. Because, essentially, I've known quite a few ventriloquists before. I've opened one time back when I first started comedy, Willie Tyler and Lester.
Oh, Willie, yeah, Willie Tyler. Mm-hmm.
So I understand that even though I would assume in your day-to-day life you understand you're not actually May.
No, yeah, I know I'm not May, yeah.
You didn't walk in as May, just to make it clear for everybody, you walked in as April. But it's an extension of you, right? And it's a switch. Like, you know, you're not in the room with me, everybody, so you can't see her switch. She turns it on. And she becomes May, and I think that's what's erotic about this idea of having a three-way, because it really would be a three-way.
Well, men actually send her love letters. Like, men send her love letters. They think she's real. I am real, duh!
Well, let's be real, May. May, you have no body to speak of. You have no breasts, no hips.
Excuse me. What do you think those are?
You don't even have nipples. She just showed me. It was almost like this poor woman had a mastectomy and just no nipples. And she is brazen. She's rude. You're rude,
yeah.
May.
You're very rude. He's right.
And you're constantly presumptuous on people making passes at you and thinking they actually want to have sex. How about you be a go-getter, May, instead of someone that's always asking for things?
Yes, May. Josh, I've been wanting to say this to her for years. You've done what I couldn't do for myself.
And now I'm here to do that.
So May, what's your answer to that?
So, I can drug you and jump your bones?
Oh my God!
You know, I totally got these roofies just in case you would do that.
Oh, I've been roofied. No good.
Have
you been roofied before, April?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Isn't that one of the worst experiences ever? And no one believes, maybe because you're a girl, some people believe you. But for me, I'm 6 feet, 185. Mm-hmm. They think, oh, you just drank way too much. You're an idiot dude. How does someone bang you when you're throwing up? I was throwing up. I don't remember anything.
Oh, I was passed out, even better. But I just woke up in the guy's apartment. He told me he might have another girl coming over. It was one of the scariest times of my life.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because then afterwards, I got out of there. Like, I told him whatever
I had. Hold on. This story's all over the place. This is a good story.
Okay.
So you're saying was this a guy you just had met or a guy you were dating?
Well, it was a guy that I had only met. And so
And he said, let's go back to my place?
Well, I was really sick. And he said, you can sleep on my couch.
Were you sick from the roofies?
I don't know what I was sick from, but whatever it was, I couldn't move.
That's the roofie!
Yeah, and so I go back to his house, and he's on top of me, and And
you actually remember this, because I don't remember shit.
Yeah, it was like an out-of-body experience. And so he's telling me this other girl might be coming over.
This is why you're in the roofie days.
Yeah.
But you remember it still.
Yeah, and so then the next day I was sick, and he told me, I want to see you again. And I said whatever I had to say to get out of there, because I knew I never wanted to see him again. Like, this was scary. I didn't even know where it was. So I get out of there, and I'm somewhere on the Upper West Side.
Well, this is here in New York. You're at Roofied. Okay.
So I'm taking a cab downtown, and I'm telling my roommates, like, maybe I overreacted. I need a second opinion.
Uh-huh.
I said, maybe I overreacted. Maybe I will see him again. He works in finance. And they go, April, he technically date raped you. You are not seeing
this guy
again.
Oh, because you actually did hook up with him.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so what happened was, I'm like, okay. So he starts blowing up my phone, telling me that he let me fuck him. Okay, all right. Yeah, no okay. Roofie. And I what? Owe him a date.
So did you say, okay, so what sparked the text? Did you say to him after you'd already left and that you'd already talked it over with your roommates, and then he tried to get in contact with you and you're like, hey, man, I don't feel great about what happened.
Well,
I think
actually,
you might have did something to me.
Well, what happened was I was ignoring him. I didn't even respond.
Because you didn't want to deal with...
Yeah, I didn't want to deal
with someone
him.
Like that.
And he told me, you know, I let you have sex with me. You threw up
on
me.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, you know why you... Okay. I've talked about this on the show before because this happened in the summer of, you know, last year. You puke.
Yeah.
I don't puke. Okay. If I ever throw up from drinking, I'm not proud of this, but it's really the only defense when you're roofied, is that I could hold my liquor. I can drink a lot. And if I do happen to throw up, which is very rare, I throw up one time and that's that. I'm done. I go to bed. I got roofied. I cannot remember 7 hours of my life. And I was violently ill.
Oh, I was crawling down the sidewalk the next day.
Violently ill.
Yeah.
It's a brutal thing.
And so I'm crawling down. And so, but he just he just wouldn't leave me alone.
So he's basically, what he did was, his defense was, my defense is the defense of, I let her have sex with me.
Yes, basically.
I'm going to try another Jedi mind trick on her and tell her that she's the one who had sex with me and not vice versa. And that she owes me another date. Because that will solidify that I did not date rape.
Yes, that I am a nice guy.
So if he gets two dates out of you, sorry to cut you off. If he gets a date out of you, if he gets the hangout, which he banged you out with the roofie, and then he gets a hangout out of you, now in a court of law, it's like, well, you went out with him again, so he probably didn't do anything to you.
Yeah, basically.
There's a way of going around. It's like, oh, okay, so you went out twice. Now you're dating.
Yeah, and so then I ignored him, and he kept blowing up my phone night and day until finally I told him, listen, leave me alone. You date rape me. And he goes, I should have listened when you had problems. And just like, he goes, people kept telling me that you were crazy. And so the next time I saw
him. How do you know him? Did you get set up? This is like a setup?
I don't
know. You know the same people?
Apparently he knew some of the people I knew. And so apparently the next week I'm there, he's there and he's being crazy. I told a friend of mine who he was. My friend came over, was bumping into him, was really just, you know, until this guy slunked the fuck out, like, you know, but apparently, like, 3 months later, he actually was arrested for date raping somebody.
Yeah.
So it made me feel good, but at the same time, I still think about it, and I'm lucky that I got out of that night, and it's, you know, teach you to be a little aware.
Isn't that, as a woman, it must be the constant... checks and balances you have to go through when you go out. It must be staggering at this point.
Yeah, you know, especially since I have male lawmakers telling me that rape is fictional.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah, that's not okay. But, you know, but that's the thing, is that this election, it was a contest to see who could rape less. Okay.
Have you always been really political in your act?
I have always been political, not so much in my act until recent times. But I've always been political. I've volunteered for candidates. I have phone banked. I've canvassed. I've always been an active little Democrat.
Sure.
And, you know, and the thing is that I've always been a women's issues blogger, which makes me annoying to a lot of male comics. But relax, guys. You know, relax. I'm all for your freedom of speech.
You're an ultra-feminist?
I would call myself an ultra-feminist, a soft ultra-feminist, whereas...
You don't shave your armpits, you don't?
Well, I do shave my armpits. I shave, I bathe.
You're feminine.
I'm feminine, but also I'm not going to censor somebody's freedom of speech on Facebook or Twitter.
Of course.
As a matter of fact, the top Trump Twitterer, Jared Wyand, got banned from Twitter. And I reached out to him and I said, listen, I do not agree with you politically, but I don't agree with you.
Well, what does Donald Trump, Jay Trump, have to say about it, though? I think that's
But anyway,
really...
Jared Wyand wrote me back hitting on me and telling me that I was hot and if, you know, I ever needed him.
Do a lot of guys hit on you?
Yeah, they do, actually.
You're not a crazy person, but I could see if someone didn't know you, they would get that crazy, sexy vibe. Like, oh, she's so crazy, it's sexy, right?
Yeah. So
is Donald attracted to you?
Are you attracted to me? Well, I always want to grab her pussy, and she keeps saying no.
Is it because that right arm is a little limp?
Yeah, that right arm's a little limp, and I keep crying, grab her pussy. All I want to do is take her furniture shopping to show her that I'm a celebrity. We talked about the fact that you couldn't say stuff like this on the radio, remember? Well, what can I say? You know, I tried to grab your pussy, but you weren't my first choice. Okay, all right, please. Oh, God. Well, besides, having an affair might not be a good thing right now. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is good. You're not my first choice, eh, girl? Josh, can I ask you a question,
please,
man?
Please.
Have you ever looked at a girl and said, I'll gang you, but you're not my first choice?
In my mind, I have said things to that nature, I guess. I have said things like, well, you know, life could be better.
Well.
But you gotta go for it. You grin and bear it.
You grin and bear it, but let me tell you, I tell girls, listen, you aren't my first choice, but I'm gonna grab you by the pussy. But now that you're president, you can have, you're married. You know what the number one cause of divorce is? What? Is it money? Wrong! It's marriage! Folks, I can't make this stuff up.
Have you ever been married, April?
Have I ever been married? No, but I've been engaged. You know, I was engaged to a guy that made me choose him or his puppets, or my puppets, and I've also...
So you chose the puppets, obviously.
I chose the puppets. And the story about me actually went viral. She chose wrong! And I came very close to marrying my last partner, but unfortunately he had some other issues and we had to break up. But the thing is that we, you know, but I have my puppets. And so, but he met the president. Tell him about meeting the president. Well, I went to the White House. It was two huge columns. That would be the White House.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a Negro, I mean black, I mean colored, I mean African-American boy standing outside. Luckily, I listened to my staff. You should have just kept it there, but keep going. And I said, son, where's your shoeshine box? I'm going to meet the president. And then I realized he was the president. Folks, I can't make this stuff up.
You must have been embarrassed, Donald.
Yeah, you should have been embarrassed. Well...
I'm very embarrassed you confused the president for a shoeshiner.
Yeah, you should have been really embarrassed. But were you? Actually, I got along well with him. We got the grade that we'd rather watch paint dry than see Hillary Clinton naked.
I love his cockeye.
Well, tell him the story. Well, the story behind his cockeye was...
Donald's cockeyed.
He was the spokesman for Stand Together Against Trump in Cleveland this summer. It was the largest anti-Trump protest at the RNC.
Okay.
And so he was at the front of the march. He was in the square every day doing publicity.
You're actually really – I'm looking at your website right now, aprilbrucker.tv, and your site is just riddled with moments of you pounding the pavement and seeking out publicity with your puppets, and people really love it.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they
– How do you do that? How do you – you're really good at capitalizing on the moment and, you know, utilizing your skills to do so. That's pretty impressive.
Well, Woody Allen said 70% is just showing up.
Sure.
And so we just showed up. We were at the RNC. We were political, and we were with Stand Together Against Trump, which they led a peaceful and positive protest. And they were mostly doctors and other medical professionals. And so they actually welcomed somebody like myself because a lot of these people don't ordinarily speak in front of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it was funny, though, because people wanted to take photos with him. And we had a lot of pro-Trump people taking photos with him. But one funny thing about protesting is each group gives out water. I had more Jesus water than anybody. Like, but, you know, it was a hot day.
Yeah.
But each side in Cleveland had, one side was pro-Trump, the other side was anti-Trump, and the police were there, and each day they're like, okay, are you pro-Trump or are you anti-Trump? Pro-Trump, okay, over there, anti-Trump. And then Westboro Baptist was, of course, protesting everybody.
Yeah.
But it was funny because the California Highway Patrol took a photo with him, and this is where I'm going with the story. I'm a little long-winded. And, you know,
it's Pittsburgh.
And he's waving, and he goes, and what did you say? I said, I love California. I love Jerry Brown. And how did Jerry Brown pay you back? He said, no more taking photos with Donald Trump, Donald Trump, or anything that resembles the candidate. That's a true story. He put out a bulletin. No more photos with Trump. Anything like Trump. We're not making a political statement. Like, that photo got all those officers
so
in trouble.
So you're saying
yeah.
because it was a funny thing that people thought, oh, this is just kind of funny. It became political.
Yeah, it became super political. But it was funny, though, because you see, like, the First Amendment on fire there. And, mm-hmm. and the square in Cleveland was actually super peaceful because, you know, we had some kids that were pro-Trump rubbing his head, taking photos. And, you know, it's like, because if you're protesting in Cleveland, you have family members not speaking to you. You have reached that point where it's like, hey, we're all here because, you know, we feel strongly, but also people think that we're assholes. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And the people that I didn't like weren't even the Trump people. I mean, I saw the bikers for Trump. They were like 300 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
I did not have to worry. If they were going to, like, come after me, I would just have to put a little pep in my step. It was the Jill Stein people that were scary.
Yeah.
Are you a Jill Stein person?
I'm not very political.
Okay, good. Because they were, because the one girl.
I know who, obviously, everybody I know Jill Stein is, but.
But RevCom was the Jill Stein group, mm-hmm. and they lit a flag on fire. And this police officer, you know, this girl lights this flag on fire, and she lights herself on fire, and this cop goes, "You idiot, you're on fire!" He puts out the fire, and he goes, "Okay, you're done for the day. Bye, bye."
Yeah.
But they, you know, they were the ones that I didn't like. But how did you feel about Cleveland?
Well, I think that they told a lot of lies about me. It's the man with small hands that was saying all those things.
Do you think Donald J. makes moves on May when they're together in the trunks?
Let's see. There's only one way to find out.
You're going to separate them?
You're going to be sorry. You just opened a can of worms, Josh. Yeah. So listen, guys. So what's going on?
Well, you know, I kept telling him. I said, listen, you got to stay off of Twitter. Use that old school diary that I got you. Shut up! I thought that we agreed that you were going to let me talk. Wrong! That's before I stuck my rod in your mouth! You didn't even get me a present this Christmas. No secret Santa. I'm letting you make me president and I let you use my gaudy. Well, I'm going to regret making you president, and you're glad he wasn't that good. You told me his name was Tyrone, but really he's a Scot.
I think we all lost 30 seconds of our life that we will never get back.
Yeah, they seem to not really connect.
Yeah, you guys, so Donald, how do you connect with women?
Well, I grab and grab the pussy. We know that, Donald.
So, but what are you doing to unite the country?
Well, I'm focusing on family values.
I got a question for April, actually. Why stand up, and who is your favorite stand up act that actually utilizes puppets?
I'd have to say Jeff Dunham or the late Otto Peterson.
Otto is the dirty. What's the puppet's name?
George Dudley.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I've actually seen them. They're amazing. I love what they did. Because you know, people get a bad rap when they use any prop or puppet, right? It's very specific. Stand-up comedians are they're purists whenever it's something they don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found it to be extremely difficult to be taken seriously in the clubs, or is that past now? Or I'm interested in the trajectory of your career and how you what's the struggle?
Well, yes and no. I find the more that I do my own thing, the better off that I am. The more that I try...
Own thing, how so? Like, do your own shows, promote your own shows, not necessarily
shows,
trying to get past
promote
it.
My own shows, not try to get past the clubs. The more that I'm April Brooker, the more people want to book that. And also, funny's funny, and you can't deny funny.
Sure.
Like, you have to be so funny that you can't be undeniable. And whenever I walk into a club, at one point, or when I walk into a spot, and I've done a lot of television stuff, like, for a while when I was young and stupid, I was April Brooker that had been on TV.
What shows have you been on?
My Strange Addiction, Rachel Ray, Entertainment Tonight, The Today Show.
Is it because you're like this character? You're like this kind of nutty girl?
I'm a little nutty professor.
Yeah, and then you have these puppets to boot, and people are like, do you ever feel like they're laughing at you and not with you sometimes? Like they just want you to be on the show because they know you're fucking, they think you're crazy? And you're playing them because I know you're not.
Well,
you're kind of playing them for a fool, which is good for you.
Well, guess what? It's good for me. I'm playing them all for a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody plays the fool for Main Ingredient. You got to do what you got to do to get into the door. But guess what? You know, who's the fool? The people saying, oh my God, she's seeking publicity. Or me for not taking the opportunity.
Sure.
That was a Confucius moment.
At some point, do you ever feel like, has there been a moment where you feel bad? Where you feel bad that you like... that maybe they used you? Or is your outlook always that, so you never feel used because you feel like it's a mutual situation?
Well, listen, no publicity is good publicity. Especially on Twitter, the source of truth! But, you know, you gotta stop putting your stuff on Twitter. You know, people are afraid that you're a national security disaster.
Oh, so Donald's talking now. Okay, sorry, Donald.
Yes! I tried to tweet the nuclear launch codes, but I ran out of characters! And so, but tell them about your family values. Well...
And you know what was really great is I asked you a question that was kind of serious, and immediately you went to the puppet. I feel like I was just in a relationship with April for about 45 seconds. So, sweetie, we really got to talk about what we're going to do together and how we're going to be together and are we going to do this right? And then it would be Donald to come in and answer me.
This is exactly why we need to talk about family values. You see, it's stuff like this. And so how are you publicizing family values? My wife and I are making a sex tape. It's called Gargoyle's Gush Gone Wild.
You love sex tapes. Your puppets love them, April.
I know.
What are you teaching them at home?
I don't know. They keep watching TV, and so...
Have you ever made a sex tape, honestly?
No, I actually never have.
You're just obsessed with your puppets making them.
You know, I guess because I didn't get a lot of action growing up, I wasn't very popular. I'm obsessed with sex tapes, you know?
Why are you... Okay, you... So far, the only reason why I can gather that why you weren't popular is because you only had three channels.
I had three channels. And my parents wouldn't let me have any friends. I was constantly in extracurricular activities. I was fat. I had braces.
You were fat? How fat were you?
I was like 50 pounds heavier than I am now.
So when you were...
But 50, I was also like 4 inches shorter, so...
So it looked different. How tall are you now? Like 5'7"? 5'6"?
Oh my God, you are generous. I'm like 5'4".
So you're 5'4". The puppets make you look huge. So tall with these puppets.
Huge!
Because their heads are so big.
I know, because we're huge!
So...
See, he wants to be in a relationship with me, Donald.
You were you're overweight young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 5 feet. And then you grew out of that, and you lost weight. And then men started to hit on you. That must be very confusing, especially if you have... multiple personalities.
Yeah, well, you know, and he's got a puppet too. Well, actually, when we do the live show, he's I'm going to show you how this goes. This is actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, let's see how this goes.
Sorry, I know you must be very, like, you're going to have a hard time coming back down to reality. I bet you your wife's
I'm all about it.
I bet you your wife's going to come home and she's going to be like, so show him some of your ventriloquism. Well, you're the governor of Illinois. Shut up, you're the governor where I say you are. So tell me about your home state of Indiana, Governor Dispense.
Well, in my home state of Indiana, we hate gays, we believe the world's flat, and we don't believe the white socks are mixed with colored towels.
Your lips are moving. No, your lips are moving. Your lips were moving. Wrong! Your lips are supposed to lose a ventriloquist, and I'm the greatest ventriloquist in the world. If you were the greatest ventriloquist in the world, your lips would not move. Hey, your lips were moving the entire time, and I didn't say which set.
Ahem! Language! You see, somebody here's got to get the female vote, and I'm going to get it. Why do you think that I get all those thank you cards from Planned Parenthood?
See, don't... Isn't that cute?
I feel like I just dropped acid.
You really...
Watching you do this, I feel like I am royally fucked up. Like, I want to float out of here.
Actually, that's how I felt when I saw the act that inspired this.
I want to smoke weed with you. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you don't have to smoke it. I don't know if you smoke weed. But I'll smoke a lot of weed, and then I'll let you just do all your voices. It'll be amazing.
Well, actually, the act that inspired this, and he's another favorite ventriloquist of mine, is Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. He's got a puppet that's an aristocrat, and the skit is that his puppet has a puppet.
Okay.
If you love puppets, like, you got to see that routine. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he just keeps butchering the ventriloquism. And,
yeah.
And he goes, you try saying hospital with
a... Do you study other ventriloquists?
Yes, almost to death. My favorites being Paul Winchell. For Christmas, I got Fun and Profit from Ventriloquism. That's Winchell's book. I study Paul Winchell. I study Edgar Bergen, of course, who Edgar Bergen is actually a stone fox on stage. And when I say that is, have you ever seen a comic when they don't get a laugh and they start to freak?
Of course. Yeah.
Edgar Bergen just keeps going. Like, he will not see
you. That's a sign of a pro, though, right?
Yeah. But, like, beyond a pro, like, these days you see some pros in the clubs just lose it on the audience. Like, I love Patrice O'Neill. No offense. The late, great Patrice O'Neill. I met him once, and I thought he was a nice guy. But Patrice, when things weren't going well, could lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would admit it, too.
Yeah.
But then, you know, but you see Edgar Bergen, who's just smooth as freaking silk up there.
Yeah. But he's also a puppet act. I mean, his act's not about being real.
Yeah,
his act's about his puppet.
His act's not about being... But I've seen some puppet acts lose it. Like, you know, either...
I might like it better if they lost it.
Actually, I lost it on stage once.
I have no problem believing that.
Well, this is what happened, though, in all fairness. It was the West Village, and it was one of those shows that went on forever. Like, you know how the comedy shows that are barely bringers go on forever?
Yeah.
It's the show that will never die.
Yeah.
Well, the show that would never die was about to die, and the only three people I had there were all drunk, and they were being obnoxious, and then they weren't laughing, and the comic before me just ate it to the point where he put the entire room to sleep. Like, okay. I've never met a bigger seeing man in my life. So I get up, they're not doing what I want, and I'm eating it for like 3 solid minutes until finally I had May on my hand. She freaking lost it and just started cussing everybody out.
Well, at least it was May and not you.
Yeah, well, everybody started clapping. They loved it.
Of course, because you're losing it, and it looks crazy, and it's May that's doing it.
And everybody was like, April, that's brilliant. And I just kept thinking in the back of my mind, like, I don't know where I did that. I don't know how I did that, and I'm probably never going to do it again.
Because, why not?
Well, not that I'm never going to do it again, but...
Oh, because it's not going to be organic. Like,
yeah,
that was
exactly.
A real moment.
Like, that was a real moment where I was comic number a gazillion, and I just freaking lost it.
Yeah. All right. I'm obsessed with your puppets.
Well, we're obsessed with you. Vote for me, 2020.
You've already got a low in 20. Good job.
See? It's going to be 8 years of... You know, and ladies, get a tramp stamp on your back. They can't see you. Oh, now I'm the President of the United States. I can see everyone. Okay, do you know that that's, like, really weird? But I think that, you know... But how do you feel about the Obama family? I love the Ogongas. It reminds me of my days in Atlantic City. Me forcing a black family out of their home.
It's unbelievable, or you're able to just say whatever you want via puppet. I think that's great.
Well, thank you, yeah.
That's what I love about puppeteering, is that everything I say, even if I were to do dueling puppets with you with Pantangeli, it would be him saying it, not me. I didn't do anything wrong. It's my puppet.
Yeah, it's your puppet. It's always the puppet.
It's brilliant. Plug where you're at. Plug, so it's aprilbrucker.tv is the website, but what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is April Brucker, like my name, APRILBRUCKER. Mm-hmm. And same on Facebook, and my Facebook page might be a little filled, so go to my fan page.
Fan page.
And also, on February 20th, if you're not doing anything, the lady and President Trump is playing at Don't Tell Mama at 7 o'clock, President's Day. Donald J. Trump is...
Where is Don't Tell Mama again? Brooklyn, right?
No, Don't Tell Mama is actually in the Theater District.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
April, so here in New York City, if you're around...
Yep, the Theater District, Restaurant Row. I know, baby girl's rolling high, right?
Nice.
Yeah, and so, but apparently they liked me so much, they invited me back, and that's the way that works. And so, we're going to be there February 20th on President's Day.
Sweet.
And you know, and he's been, you know, we've been around, he's been credentialed press... At the presidential debate, you were credentialed press. Yes, those are some good hombres.
Oh, the puppet is.
Yeah, the puppet was credentialed press at the presidential debate, yes.
Nice. Wow, he's killing it.
Yeah.
Is he verified on Twitter yet, this Donald J. Tramps?
No, but we're working on it. I'm not even verified on Twitter. Those bastards won't even verify me.
Damn. Fucking the world. What's the world coming to?
I know, I can't even get verified on Twitter.
All of her people can't get verified, all of her puppets. This is horseshit.
I know this is horseshit. Verify my fucking puppets.
Yeah, let them know.
Let them know. But yes, February 20th, 7 o'clock. Don't Tell Mama, 343 West 46th Street, Restaurant Row. Again, 7 o'clock, be there or be square, if you dare.
Well, I appreciate it, April. Please thank May when you see her.
Yes, I will.
Donald.
Thank you. Vote for me 2020.
We will. We hope you do well enough to vote for you.
And I'm going to grab you by the pussy, America.
And on that note, April, my dear, thank you so much for coming on. April Brucker, you're amazing. Make sure you guys go follow her in all of her shows and go see what she's doing, because it is something that you have to witness in person. It is pretty staggering how she's able to just jump into her puppets like that. It's almost terrifying. She's a professional, and I always admire professionals, because it's not like... we're in a setting here when we're recording
I mean, we're in my apartment. It's not like we're at some theater. For her to just jump right in and do the puppets, it's amazing. That's what a professional is. That's why people who are actors, to get an audition, you're literally in a situation where you're in a very cold clinical room, most likely linoleum floors, terrible lighting, and a card table in front of you with people sitting there looking at your headshot, and then them going, all right, go ahead. Now, be somebody in the Arctic right now. Go. And for you to book that job, you got to be able to do that really, really well. That's what it's called being a professional. And April came on the show as a professional and did her damn thing. So, April, thank you. I'm impressed. The whole audience, I'm sure, are very impressed. So go follow April. I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Hard to believe this is episode 122. We've done 122 of these things. We've been on over the course of 5 years. Started out as Slam Pig Podcast, now the Broken Tail Dog Podcast. We've done it. It's amazing. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting the show, and I'll talk to you soon.